Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, February 28th, 2013. And this week has been a very interesting week, to say the least. It just doesn't stop. But anyway, first of all, I want to announce the book release show we have scheduled. And it's going to be a John Moore radio show, The Liberty Man, and 6 a.m. on next Wednesday, March 6th. So that's 6 a.m. and republicbroadcasting.org is the location. So John is on Republic Broadcasting, and I've made special arrangements with John, and also special arrangements that that radio show John will maintain without being posted in other locations, because it's been a real roller coaster ride releasing this book. And I do this, I do the pre-release. I've done this on all of my books. The Planet X, Comets and Earth Changes books wasn't so obvious because that was the first book. But let's give an example. The Surviving Planet X Passage pamphlet, there was a short release process, and that was very interesting. Because that little pamphlet is probably one of the most important pamphlets or pieces of information I put out, because it's short, it's brief, and it's what a lot of people use to for their survival gear. It's really an important little book. 60-page, I call it a pamphlet. It's really a lot more than a pamphlet. But my point is that when I released the Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book, I had a release date set up on the Coast to Coast AM program, and I set the book up for pre-sale before anybody knew the title, and the book went wild. I was amazed. I won't go into all the details, because a lot of that is has implications in other areas, but let's just say this. The book went ballistic, went into orbit before anybody knew the title. And most people were expecting me to write another Planet X, Comets and Earth Changes book. It was anything but that. The Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book, was a delving into history and science, secret societies. And that was where the whole topic of secret societies came out and exploded on the international scene. The whole topic of reviving Tesla, the fact that I had discovered the source of energy that Tesla was tapping into, and also destroyed a lot of the misinformation about Tesla. For example, people tried to promote that Tesla's tower was used to transmit energy. Well, gee, where did he get the energy to transmit? The disinformation crew can't exactly answer that, because Tesla had just sold his entire energy producing system to Westinghouse under contract, and Tesla was under contract. He had sold the rights to all of his generator technology. I think it was like a price tag of around $4 million, which was a pretty good chunk of change back there in the early 1900s. So Tesla did not have a source of energy to transmit. So what exactly was he going to transmit? He didn't have a source of energy. He had sold his equipment and the technology to Westinghouse. So this whole idea that, and there's a movie out, it's about, I forget, magicians or something, and it's supposedly, it includes Tesla, that he's transmitting energy. And it has some interesting scenes where he's sitting next to his Tesla tower, and it's arcing all over the place. But at any rate, my Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book, broke the mold and showed that the Tesla tower was used to extract energy from the ionosphere. And what got Tesla in trouble, the way the story really unfolded, is Tesla sold his technology to Westinghouse, like I say, for about $4 million. And that's the three-phase generators, the coal system. At that point, it was driven by coal, the coal-fired generators, the steam generators that drove the turbines, that drove the three-phase electric motors used in reverse as electrical generators, the same systems that are used today in big diesel systems and in big commercial generators, and all of the diode technology, the grid technology, the AC transmission technology, all of that went with that sale to Westinghouse. And so Tesla, though, in his understanding of how things worked, knew that he could extract free energy. And this is not a box on a table that somehow magically draws energy out of the universe and it pops out of a box on a table. No, this was a tower, and I always maintain that picture of that tower on my webpage, jmccsci.com. I maintained that picture there to show people what Tesla had and the fact that that tower was to extract energy, basically hooking into the energy source in the ionosphere. And my Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book, showed Tesla's connection to ancient history and how he connected in there. Where did he get his information from? I mean, he came out and built these towers. It would be like building a 747 by the Wright brothers. That's about the level of difficulty of what Tesla did and the knowledge, the intricate knowledge that he had. And remember that Billy Clinton blew up the in Europe, blew up the seminary where Tesla's dad worked, where they had the archives. This was part of the Catholic Church. So I suspect what they had done is removed all the archives, moved them into the basement of the Vatican, and then blew up the church. But at any rate, that was part of the modern secret society's effort to bury this knowledge so it never came out. And so anyway, my book, Atlantis to Tesla, The Colburn Connection, blew the cover off of all of that. And the shock wave that went through the secret societies at that time was immense. The feedback that I got personally was that basically it was like I raped them. And that's exactly what I did. I took those people to the cleaners because secret societies depend on secrecy, and I pulled the veil of secrecy off of them. And after that, it was like dogs to the feeding, or wolves to the feeding, whatever, because then there was just a plethora of other people searching in this area to dig up information. Almost immediately, they tried to destroy the Colburn. And this is by putting it through some hoaxers, that some people that they like to use these no-name wannabes out there, like Marshall Masters, and produced a illegitimate copy of the Colburn and put it on Amazon. And other places to sell. It was an illegitimate copy, a destroyed copy of the Colburn. And at first they were actually selling Xerox copies of the real Colburn, which came from the Chaldean Trust, a book that I had been given in private, and then was allowed to release it to the public in the United States through my book, Atlantis to Tesla, The Colburn Connection. But as I said, it sent shockwaves through the secret societies that run the world because they thought that was their private secret information. And the way that Colburn starts out is it talks about the renewal of man with the great comets of old. And so that was another aspect of that book. But anyway, the point is when the Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book came out, after the title was released on the Coast to Ghost AM show, what happened in the pre-release was like a cakewalk. That book went absolutely international, ballistic, overnight. And it, as one of my friends said, I created more employment with that job, with news material for writers, than any other book probably in modern history. Because everybody then became a secret society expert. Gee, Alex Jones was all of a sudden. Everybody else jumped on the bandwagon and started delving into who really runs this planet. So that book turned a lot of keys. The next book was the weather book, the Principia Meteorologia, the Physics of Sun, Earth, Weather, a 300-page astounding book, which is still astounding today. Now, all of these, of course, available in ebook today. Then the weather book just rocked the meteorological community. It really set the record straight and destroyed the NASA myths, the bad tier two science that permeated meteorology and all of space science, because I took space science from the electrical point of view and expanded on it and showed how hurricanes and tornadoes were driven by electrical conditions really from outer space. And it went further on the topic of Tesla. I describe in the book, The Principia Meteorologia, The Physics of Sun, Earth, Weather, I call it the weather book. By the way, all of these written for the general public. But I call it the weather book, but in the weather book, I also go into further detail on the Tesla Tower. I describe intricately how the Tesla Tower works, how it's driven, how it's powered, what it does, how it works, how it interacts with the atmosphere, the dipole molecules in the atmosphere. It's a big radio transmitter that drills through the atmosphere electrically and then taps into that almost infinite power source that is in the ionosphere. And we're blocked from that by the vertical electric field is blocked by our atmosphere, which is a very good shield. It's an electrical shield, just like in a capacitor. You have a dielectric that makes the capacitor hold much more charge and blocks the charge from passing. Our atmosphere is a beautiful dielectric that blocks the ionosphere. So by drilling through it, by creating an electrical hole with the Tesla Tower, Tesla knew this, but Tesla did not know where this source of energy came from. He knew it was there. He knew the vertical electric field was there. He knew how to drill through it, but he had no concept of where this came from. The solar wind was not understood in his day. He did not understand where this came from. But my book, starting with the Planet X Comets and Earth Changes books, which really goes back to my work in the 1970s when I was at Cornell University and discovered and put all of this into perspective using space probe data. So these were the books that finally were put out in the public for the public to understand. So anyway, at that point, the secret societies got their scientists together. There was about 5 weeks after I released the Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book, that the Northeast power outage occurred, and that's because the secret societies got their tier one scientists together. They built a Tesla tower just outside of Ottawa using the power of the nuclear generators, the commercial nuclear generators in Ottawa, to power up the Tesla power. And what happened is that day when they were powering it up, the people could hear the Tesla tower, that low rumble, all over the northeast part of the United States. It's like a didgeridoo. It's a low-frequency hum that carries along the ground, and it carries for hundreds and hundreds of miles. But at any rate, when they powered this thing up, they did not have enough power from the commercial nuclear generators in Ottawa, so an order went out to cross the United States into the northeastern corridor, electrical corridor grid of the United States, to use power all the way down to Washington, D.C. There were 9 nuclear generators that were contributing to the power that was running up to Canada to power up the Tesla tower, because they had to drill through it. So it takes a lot of power, and I'll get back to Tesla's original experiment here in a minute. But this is the Northeast Corridor in the, was about 2004, I believe it was, the Northeast Power Outage, the Great Northeast Power Outage. So anyway, the order goes out through the U.S. Department of Energy to allow vast amounts of energy, to electrical energy, to flow into Canada to continue powering up that Tesla tower. The only thing the moron tier one scientists that operated by the secret societies, the bankers of Europe, what they didn't understand is when they drilled through and hit the ionosphere, they had no way to control the current pulse that was going to come down the electrical tube that they had just drilled through the ionosphere. So anyway, they finally broke through, and the amount of current that came down, that it blew out the nuclear generator in Ottawa. I think there were 2 of them that had actually French fried right there. And that current surge came down all the way into, from Ohio all the way east and down the eastern seaboard. It backed up 9 fully operating nuclear generators on the eastern coast. The surge blew out automobile parts. It blew out radios, all kinds of computer equipment. It backed up everything that was going on the northeastern coast. And the explanation, the explanation that came out of our illustrious Department of Energy is that a squirrel's tail fell across a power line in Ohio, and that's what caused the Northeast power outage. Remember that little story? Wow. Do they ever come up with the, well, like I say, get your hip boot waders on, the kind that come all the way up to your chest, because it's going to get a lot deeper out here real soon. Going back to Tesla, back in the early 1900s, Tesla had built his tower, and you can see the picture of it on my webpage, jmccsci.com. Go there and take a good look at that picture. That is not a small structure. By the way, all of the grid work is done with big timbers. And then that's an insulator, and then there's a metal tube running up to, from the control building where the Schmitt trigger is located down below in the control building, and it runs a tube up to the bell tower that has all of the spikes leading out. This is not a small little child's toy. Like I say, Tesla built this from scratch, the first one. He didn't build lots of little steps going up in between. And remember, these are complex, very complex electrical interactions. This is not just some big structure. This is electrically designed correctly. It would be, like I say, it would be like the Wright brothers designing and building and flying a 747 jetliner the first time out. Tesla got information from somewhere, and that's what my Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book, did. It hooked him back into the ancient texts. That's where the ancient, and then I talk about the ancient ability to fly on the electromagnetic, what I call the electric rivers to the sky, to the stars. That I presented at, in fact, in that year, I gave a conference out in Nevada talking about that, the electric rivers to the stars. And that was producing my 2 electric propulsion systems that I had produced back in the early 1980s. That also contained in the Atlantis to Tesla book. So the Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book, blew the cover off of everything, including how to go into outer space and come back comfortably on electromagnetic propulsion systems. It showed that the space shuttle and the American space program that you see, NASA, is a big farce. It's just a smokescreen to make you think that it's so difficult to go into space. Only a big program, nationally government-funded program like NASA, could possibly do it. What a joke. A lot of people still think that. But, of course, they've shut down the space program, and they may as well just shut it all down. But it's still there for smokescreen. Okay, but anyway, the weather book went farther in more detail, a lot more detail, describing Tesla and describing how weather works and just ripping apart NASA, the meteorological community, Dr. Gray at the time predicting the hurricanes with that warm water somehow produced hurricanes, all the absolute garbage tier two fairy tale science that's out there today, just ripped the cover off of that and exposed it in a manner that the public could understand. Okay, then came out with another release, and I prepared the public for this release, the release was set up for a coast-to-coast AM show, and here was the timing of this. The show was set up, and I was on my way, I won't say where, but a place distant, far away, and I had a remote location set up to do the show. That night, I believe it was a Monday night, if I recall. But at any rate, this was my next release. And I had prepared the public for many weeks with my radio show, telling them I was talking about the universe and the repeatability in the universe. I had given many lectures. You can go back to that prior to the release of the Calculate Primes book. But nobody on the planet had a copy of the book. Everything, all of my book production, etc., was done offline with computers that were not online. Just like all my books, like the current book that's coming out also, there's no way anybody has access to this because it's not available. It's not available by any hacking means. The best firewall is no firewall. The best firewall is don't ever put your computer online. That's simple. I worked in telecommunications. I built networks for some of the biggest companies in the world when I was working in telecommunications companies and developing telecommunications computers that were front-end processors for the biggest IBM mainframes on the planet. Secure computing, private networks. That's what I did for about half of my career. I was a principal senior engineer in both hardware and software, working in encryption, working in proprietary computer protocols, instruction sets, computer chips, buses, trunks, everything that you can imagine, I had my hands in, and I was at the top of the pyramid on all of these in companies that dealt with IBM mainframes, some of the most complicated electronics that ever existed on the face of the planet. And so at any rate, I knew some things. One of them was encryption. It was one of my specialties. I have a degree in physics and mathematics. In analysis, I have taken every math course under the sun, and I've taught just about every math course at the university level under the sun. So I had been working on my whole life the most unsolved, one of the most difficult problems in mathematics. In fact, it was so difficult that Hilbert, when he released his 24 mathematical problems at the beginning of the 1900s and called them the Millennium Problems leading up to the year 2000, he did not list the analysis of prime numbers, the understanding and patterns of prime numbers. He did not list it because nobody ever imagined in their wildest dreams that anybody would ever solve the rhythm of the prime numbers. And so anyway, of course, my book was secret at the time in pre-release. It was selling in pre-release form. And as I said, the release program was scheduled for Coast to Coast AM on a Monday night, I believe it was. And that morning, by special courier, the book was delivered into the hands of George Noory. He was the only guy on the planet that had that book. And so there was a lot of curiosity, I should say, And by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I had received a call from Lisa, the producer, saying that they couldn't release my book, that they were going to do just a general interview. And I'm like, what? And so very apparent what happened is that the title of the book and the contents of the book went up the ladder, and by 3 in the afternoon, they refused to allow that book to be released on the air. The only problem is that the book had pre-sold and was shipped already all over the world. The book Calculate Primes. Well, what was so special about that? Well, the title of the topic that was posted, that Jim McCanney was going to do a show about encryption. What it didn't say is that I had broken the RSA encryption code so a third grader could go in and break them. The RSA encryption codes were the ones based on prime numbers. I had developed a formula to directly calculate prime numbers, something that no one, Hilbert, every great mathematician in history, Gauss, Riemann, all of the great names in mathematician had pounded on this problem their entire lives, and nobody had solved it. And I broke through and not only solved the problem, but broke the encryption codes that depended on prime numbers. And so there was a little problem, because every piece of military hardware, every piece of firewall, encryption, transmission, computer, digital, in the world, using secure credit cards, banking, your home computer, everything on the planet used those RSA encryption encoding techniques. And in one night, it broke all of that. Not to mention it solved the oldest problem in mathematics going back to the Greeks. And so that did something else, though, very subtle. When that book came out, I released all of my other background, which had never been released before, because people had known me for my comet work, people had known me for my electrical universe, developing all of the concepts, the terminology, and the concept of the plasma discharge comet model, the fact that the sun puts out a differential current of electrical current in the solar wind, producing an electrical capacitor, the solar capacitor. The induced electric dipole redshift was part of my other work. People had known me for all of that, but I had kept secret my mathematical life, the fact that I had taught for probably 10 years at the university level, physics, mathematics, all levels of mathematics, up to and including senior analysis, statistics, calculus 1, 2, 3, engineering calculus and engineering mathematics, the mathematics of physics, plus all of the physics courses that I taught. And what I had not released was the fact that I had taught the mathematics and worked in the computer industry as an engineer, a high-level engineer dealing with the most secure computing networks in the world, Shell Oil, Mobile, the big banks. All of these companies were the clients of the business where I worked. And like I say, I was the principal engineer in both software and hardware. So everything came up the ladder to where I was. And so I wrote this functional specifications. I followed them through. I worked with the engineers down to the bit level on all of this, on the hardware, the transmission, the cabling, everything. And so I knew encryption and all of the issues dealing with encryption. I knew that inside and out. And I knew from my mathematics background that the calculate primes, the ability to directly calculate primes, was the most important problem in all of mathematics. And why didn't Hilbert state it in his 24 millennium problems? They were called the millennium problems. It's because Hilbert and everybody that he knew never imagined that anybody would ever calculate, figure out how to calculate primes. directly. And that was so ingrained in mathematics that the most secure computing of in the world, the military, the satellites, the naval ships, the everything, including secure banking, every level of secure computing and transmission, encryption, and firewalls was based on the assumption that prime numbers were random, they were uncalculable, and what my book, Calculate Primes, did is blow the cover off of all of that. And so overnight, there was these people contacted me. There was a lot of people that called me up and asked for information on how to do this. And when they realized what I had done, there was an immense amount of work that had to be done. And a lot of it could not be done, in, especially in military. They didn't know where all of this was. They had no idea because everything is so compartmentalized in military hardware that they didn't know where all of the encryption bits were, the encryption algorithms, etc. And so Ashcroft, the head of Homeland Security at that time, came out and made a speech. He said, "We have no idea where the problem is in secure computing. We have no idea about any of this." And what I told people is that I had to release this book the way I did. A lot of people think, well, gee, you really caused a lot of damage there. Well, no. Can you imagine the damage if somebody, say, in China had discovered this and kept it secret, and the amount of damage they could have done by infiltrating all the computer systems of the world and nobody would know it? Secondly, if I were to have released this to one of the secure agencies, who I've worked with these people before, they would have maybe killed me. They would have shut my information down, taken it, and buried it and pretended like it didn't exist. So I had to release the Calculate Primes book the way I did. And as I said, by the time the information got out, what I had done and what the topic was, these books, the Calculate Primes book, had already been pre-sold and shipped all over the world. And there's no way they could put the lid on it at that point. And the thing was, they were using a system that had a hole in it. And I knew it. I understand this whole industry of encryption because I worked in it. I was at the top level of this industry in both hardware, software, and everything that goes with it. So I knew what the effect would be. I also knew how the security agencies worked, and I also knew how the secret societies worked. Additionally, I later found out, not to mention this, but that the secret societies were using prime numbers to schedule their devious events against humanity. 9/11, for example, is just an example of the type of numbers that they chose, secret numbers, in their sorcery, in their devil worship, because they thought that the prime numbers had no patterns. And so what I discovered, for example, is the Japanese earthquake occurred, what I believe it was like 11 years after 9/11, the Two Tower incident in New York, on March 11th, I believe it was, 11 years later. So they were choosing the dates. That was the March 11th, was the Tokyo tsunami, or the Japanese tsunami that was created by nuclear blasts under the ocean. So you see that these, then I started putting together, and I did an entire show on Scriptures for America with Pastor Peters. I told him what I had done, and he said, yeah, come on this show. And I released the information giving all of the different dates that had been selected based on prime numbers. So not only was it being used for encryption, it was being used as a seriously gross numerology for the selection of dates to destroy the public, to do damage against the general public and bring in the New World Order. So I exposed that. I mean, the things that have come out of this are enormous. But as I said, I had to release that book in the manner that I released it, because I knew that it would be shut down, and the release on Coast to Coast was a great example. By 3 in the afternoon, from the time they received the book at 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, somebody had sent the order to shut that show down, and we mentioned it at the very, very end of the show. And some guy came on, and he sounded like an engineer at the end of the show when we announced the book. At the very end of the show, George announced the Calculate Primes book and just mentioned it briefly. A guy calls in immediately and he says, "Does that mean the RSA encryption codes have been broken?" And I said, "Yes, that's what that means." Somebody was listening, and that was a government guy, and he was obviously a well-trained government guy because he knew immediately what I had done. And so, but that was interesting. So anyway, that was the Calculate Primes book. Then the next book out was The Diamond Principle. And this book has a whole series of comedy relief type of events also. It went into pre-release sale and once again was selling. I'm probably one of the few people on the planet that can sell a book that doesn't have that the public doesn't know the title or the subject yet. And people are buying it right now. The new book, which I'm not releasing the title or information on that until next Wednesday. You can buy it in pre-release format for only $12. It'll retail for $17.95. But that book will come out, and the title will be released on John's show next Wednesday. Wednesday morning, John Moore, 6 a.m., republicbroadcasting.org. That's where the title will be released, and we'll talk about that the new book at that point. But going back to the Diamond Principle book, when that was released, it was in August. Was it August of 2010? I believe so. Yeah, it was in late August of 2010, and we set up the release date. And the same issue was released on Coast to Coast AM. And nobody knew the title. And so the title was released at that time. 1 week later, now just to give you a summary, the Diamond Principle is kind of divided in two parts. It does an analysis of modern society, somewhat going into the future, maybe 100 years, and looking back at modern, what we call modern society, and showing how the modern society is totally inept, incapable of going into outer space, nor could, not only in the technical sense, but socially, we are not capable of going into outer space. And I bring up the point that the only society that possibly could do it would be the Chinese, because of their social organization, not because of technology. And of course, the Chinese are making great advances, just as well as the Iranians and other people, as far as going into outer space. And the Americans are just dead in the water. I mean, the NASA can't get a mouse into space. But the Diamond Principle, when it came out, the second part of the book then turned the corner and showed how society must proceed. And of course, the biggest thing is we got to get rid of the world bankers, the economic system that is absolutely destroying this planet, the source of wars, all of the wars. Just look at the Jewish European banking, the Rothschilds now into Europe, in England, and controlling the United States. These, you know, in all of the wars that are going on, there's no question that this system of economics has to be crushed and destroyed forever before the human race can turn the corner and start rebuilding, because people are so dumbed down now. The only thing they can think about is the stock market and the jobless rate. They don't understand that this has nothing to do with how we should be living, that your house should not cost $200,000 and cost you 30 years of your life paying interest to purchase. No, this is not the way to live. but we have been sold this model from grade school. Kids are taught in grade school to sit in that classroom, the Dewey system. Make those kids sit there for 12 years, so when they come out of there, they're so stupid they can't even see straight. They can't balance a checkbook. They can write their name in a form, and that's what they're good for, to do repetition work for the banking masters. That's what high school is preparing them for, and it doesn't even do a good job of that. But don't let them out there, and don't let them think, that's for sure. But at any rate, the Diamond Principle, 1 week after that book was released, and by the way, one of the main points of the Diamond Principle was that you have to, or the bankers, the controllers, have to control society. The biggest thing they have to do is promote bad science and astronomy. So that's where you get all of the NASA Tier 2 garbage fairy tale science. That's why that is so important. It's so important for them to maintain the dirty snowball comet model as we head into this year with many new comets coming in, some new ones I will announce here in a minute. It's so important for them to maintain the dirty snowball comet model in spite of the fact that it's just ridiculously cannot predict anything. We have comets coming in that are illuminated bright green. We're all going to see this at the end of April, Comet C2012 F6. We're all going to see it in the sky lit up like a green light bulb, like a neon sign in the sky, and NASA's going to tell you that's just reflected light from the sun. Something so absurd, but they can pawn this off on the public because the public is so scientifically stupid. Because they have been made that way. We've depended, or the public has depended on public education to give them the correct information, and it's garbage science from the top to the bottom. But at any rate, okay, back to the Diamond Principle. 1 week after the Diamond Principle was released, which says that there is a creator, there is an organization in the universe, the other side of the universe is organized and equally predictable, and if you find a diamond on the other side of the universe, it's going to have the same properties as a diamond here on Earth, and that if you find DNA on the other side of the universe, it's going to be the same as the DNA here on Earth, and there is a pattern, there's a development. It even includes the calculate prime solution with the generator function, that there are universal generator functions in the universe, including biological, that allow people just like us to exist on the far side of the universe, that this is a development of DNA over time. And one of the great solutions of the Calculate Primes book was that you have to have false primes in the calculation, the final calculation of real prime numbers. There are some false primes that come up, and you have to work your way through those because you need those to get to the final real primes. That was one of the thin veils that I had to break through and discover in that discovery of calculating primes, and that nature works the same way in evolutionary biology, that you need some false leads. The human race as it currently exists is a false prime. It's a false lead. It's only a stepping stone to the final state that has to occur somewhere down the line in the future for a human species that is understanding of the universe, that doesn't destroy its environment, that understands the workings of the universe and works with the harmony of the universe instead of destroying it and using it for capitalistic gain. So empire building, wars, etc. You know, you have to eliminate all this in reality, not just pass a law. You have to eliminate it from reality before you can even think about turning your society and going into outer space as a community, as a society. So at any rate, that was the point of the Diamond Principle. And so a week later, not even a week later, is a book that comes out supposedly by Stephen Jay Hawking and saying that there is no God, that science does not need a God, that everything is random, everything in the universe, there is no pattern, there's no dynamic reason in the universe. And this is ghostwritten by a guy who claims he talks to Stephen Jay Hawking. Now, Hawking has not been able to communicate or move in his wheelchair for over 10 years, probably more. But here's some joker that claims that he can talk to Stephen Jay Hawking, and in a week, ghostwrites a book saying that Hawking says, because they're using Hawking's name because it's a very widely, universally known name around the world, to say exactly the opposite of what I say in my book, The Diamond Principle. My book, The Diamond Principle, says there's a creator, there's an order to the universe, we have to follow this, there's an energy in the universe, and that we're living our lives against the natural laws of the universe. Well, that's not exactly what the bankers, with the Dewey Decimal System, in order in keeping all the kids in rows and columns, just like the books in the library, that's not what they want you to be hearing. And so my book went exactly against the grain, once again, of the New World Order and what they were doing. So they come out with this ghost-written book a week later and promote it worldwide with their power of the press. And it's just phenomenal to see the reaction that comes out when one of my books comes out. So right now, we are on the verge of my next book coming out. And by the way, I have two books coming out. One that's coming out next Wednesday, and then I'll time the release of the second book, which is a very different topic. And I'm not going to go into details right now on the second book. But have another book that's coming out on the heels of this one, let's say. It'll probably be a month or 2 months later. Give this one time to etch into the public's mindset. But this Wednesday, my next book will come out, and it's a beautiful 40-chapter masterwork that I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but it's a very good addition to the books that I already have. Now, there's a rule that I have when I release a new book in the construction. First of all, it's written for all time. All of my books, all of the ones that I've written, are as valid today as they were when they were put out. They're not a series of books that are for 1 year, or, okay, that was good for this year, but now it's no longer valid. No, these books are good for all time. And I have that very much in mind when I write them. And every book took and was based on the information that I had previously put out in the books for the public, was based on that, but took a 90-degree turn and took you into a new dimension that you had never really been before. This book will do the same. It's 40 chapters long. It's because it's only available in ebook format that allows me a lot of ability. For example, colored pictures. There will be a lot of colored pictures with a lot of explanations. And by the way, that's one of the benefit for those out there who have my books in print form. It's a beautiful collection. They're all the same size. It's like a library. But the beauty of the ebook format is that all of the pictures are in color. It brings out a vivid new dimension for these books. And so I would encourage people that have the books in print form to also get them in ebook format. It's $65 for the 5-book set. And if you buy the previous 5 books, The Planet X, Comets and Earth Changes, The Surviving Planet X Passage Pamphlet, Atlantis to Tesla, The Colburn Connection, The Weather Book, Principia Meteorologia, The Physics of Sun, Earth, Weather, and The Diamond Principle, the Calculate Primes book will never be in ebook format because of the DVD that goes with it, because it's too complicated a math book to translate. It's going to stay in English in print form only, with the DVD. But the other 5 books, the Planet X book, the Surviving Pamphlet, the Atlantis to Tesla book, the Weather book, and the Diamond Principle, those 5 books are all in e-format now. And the new book will only be available in e-book format simply because it would be astronomically expensive to print it. in with all of the color plates, etc. But the new book, and that allows me to sell it for a reasonable price. It will retail for $17.95 after the release, but you can buy it in the pre-release for $12 on my webpage. Only available on my webpage, by the way. Never will be on Amazon, because they sell, I don't trust Amazon. I don't trust them at all. I would not put a book of mine there. I think they have printing, this is my personal opinion, I think they have printing presses where they're printing books and selling them, not telling the authors, this is my personal opinion. And also with ebooks, they could sell a million of them and then pay you for 10. I don't trust Amazon as far as I could, whatever. But so my books only available on my webpage, and the same with this one. But you'll be able to buy this book, as I said, after the release. It'll be $17.95 for the new book, the new release book. But before, you can buy it for $12. Or you can purchase the entire set of five previously available ebooks for $65. And you will get the new book for free. So that's the pre-release deal. And as John Moore said, he thinks that's a pretty good deal. Just the weather book in ebook format is $35. So for a little bit more, you get all five of the books, plus you get the new book free. So that's about as good a deal as you're going to find anywhere. So anyway, that's on my webpage, jmccsci.com. And as you can tell, I'm very excited about this new release. It's really, really a book that you're going to want to have. And all I can tell you is that, you can wait till it comes out and pay more, or you can, and here's how it works. If you buy the pre-release version about a number of hours before the pre-release show, before the release show, that'll be next Wednesday. A few hours before that, you will receive an email with directions on downloading the new book. So you'll actually have it in your hands prior to the release show. That's how that works. So either if you buy it for the $12, just the book, or the $65 for the five-book set, plus the free new book, that you will, of course, if you buy the five books, you can download those right now, as soon as you buy them. For $65, and then you will get an email a few hours before the release show this coming week, and with the information on downloading the new book. So anybody, no matter which way you purchase the new book, you will get an email this coming Tuesday, late Tuesday, so you can download the new book prior to the release show. You'll have it in your hands for the release show. So anyway, that's the story. I got to get off to a couple other announcements here. this past week, I must be making some headway and also making some people up there pretty irritated. This past week, first I'll preface this by saying a couple weeks ago, remember that spaceweather.com came out with a false story about companions to Comet C2012-S1. At the same time, I got private information and showed that there, in fact, may be some companions to this comet coming in. Spaceweather.com, and then there were a number of locations started accusing me of passing false information, like the kind of Heaven's Gate thing, where people were going to commit suicide and all of this stuff. And I jumped all over them saying that that was spaceweather.com that came out and made the public announcement, because I didn't make any public announcements about my source of data or any other information that I had. And it was very specific that this had to be clarified with further data and that it was a preliminary announcement. That's not what spaceweather.com did. They put it out as if it were fact, and that's where all of the misinformation came from, yet they tried to turn it on me to try and ruin my name, never saying that it was spaceweather.com. Then spaceweather.com pulled down their story. This past week, In fact, I was being interviewed on John Moore's show, and a guest calls in and he says, "You've been saying that there's a whole planetary system coming into the solar system. Could you explain this?" And I'm going, "What are you talking about?" So anyway, the next caller calls in and says, "You're on YouTube, and you're saying that there's a big solar system coming in from the south, and they just posted your voice on YouTube." So in the break, I went there. They had taken, and this is the disinformation crew at its best, taken my radio show from 2004, I believe they said it was, the June 17th, 2004 radio show, my show, chopped my voice out of parts of this, put it up on YouTube with a date of February 17th on a number of YouTube videos, and said that I was saying that Planet X is coming into the solar system right now. And so this is total misinformation. I then got a hold of YouTube, told them to take this down, and of course YouTube is controlled by Google, which is all government, CIA-owned, police force of the World Banks, and they refused to take it down. So there's some people out there that apparently don't like Jim McCaney too much. As I've always said, I didn't get my Christmas card from NASA this year, but I must be making serious headway for them to pull this kind of garbage. But anyway, they chopped a 2004 radio show of mine, took my voice, put it up there, and it's still there. YouTube still has this, but luckily some of my fans have made postings saying that that ain't me, that's chopped. My voice has been edited out of a 2004 program and put in a YouTube video to make it look like I'm saying that right now Planet X is coming into the solar system. And then they start slamming me down in the blog part down below. The disinformation crew starts slamming me, saying that I'm creating, Heaven's Gate type of terror and misinformation. But luckily, my fans are there to post and say, "Jim McCaney, this is not him saying this. You're editing his old programs, etc." But anyway, I got just a couple seconds left. We have new comets coming into the solar system, a C2013A1 on a near direct collision course with Mars. I still haven't determined yet what the real story is on that. We have four comets coming into the solar system, other big ones, not to mention the C2012S1. I'll be talking more about that. The C2012F6 bright green comet will be visible in April. I'll be talking more about that next week. And by next week, I'll be going headlong into my new book on the radio show. It will be released next Wednesday, March 6th, 6 a.m., John Moore, The Liberty Man Show on republicbroadcasting.org. I'm out of time. This is Jim McCaney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.